Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Democracy-ish. I'm Torre.
And I'm Danielle Moody.
And there's a lot of fires going on in the world that I want to talk about, but I think I am sad in that I'm wrapping my head around it. Really does not make any sense to do our traditional, normal Thanksgiving family gathering, which would be my wife, my son and daughter and I going to see my sister, her husband, his son, and my mom. And I just see so many messages saying, like, don't do your normal Thanksgiving. Small groups, indoors, bad news. Those small, informal indoor gatherings are helping to spread the disease. And you can't do it. It's certainly not some multi-hour indoor gathering. Can't do it.
I mean, you can't do it. I recommend that people don't do it. I will tell folks that I just came off of a birthday trip that I took with four other people. All of us had COVID tests before we left. And now I will be getting ready to take two more COVID tests before I actually go home to only have Thanksgiving with my mom and my dad. Our normal Thanksgiving, like everybody else's, includes uncles and aunts and cousins and all of these things. And we're not doing it because I don't think that it's safe. And when you talk to these doctors, which I had the pleasure of talking to on my other show, they explain scientifically what is happening with the COVID actual virus, which is that in the wintertime, it hardens and becomes like impenetrable. In the summertime, they explained it as being more like a jelly bean, easily kind of like, you know, squashed, not as penetrable. This is like the whole air is filled with marbles, right? And you are going to get hit by one. And why put yourself in a situation where you can potentially catch it, spread it, and harm someone.
So the problem, as to what you're learning, is the fact of the cold and the impact on the virus, not just that we kind of got to be inside because it's cold.
It's the fact that we have actual more virus, and the virus is harder. So because America did a shit job, or actually no job at all, in managing the coronavirus, now the air literally is filled with virus. There is more virus, and it is also impenetrable. That is the fucking problem. And that's why they are asking folks, please don't do inside dining. Please don't gather in groups, because everybody isn't going to go and get COVID tests, because half the country doesn't even believe still, with 250,000 people dead over. We hit the mark already today, that still, half the country doesn't believe that it's a thing. So we know that if everybody were wearing a mask, getting COVID tests, doing all the right things, then maybe we would be in a different situation for the holidays. But that is not the case. And the numbers are increasingly worse and worse every single day. And now we have just somebody just lied from the Trump administration saying that they're going to be able to distribute the vaccine in a couple of weeks. That's not the case. That's not what any of the people from Moderna, from Pfizer have said. They said maybe by the end of first quarter. So how they're going to do this in a couple of weeks, and I'm telling you, that vaccine coming out of the Trump administration with their hands on it, no, hard no.
I mean, you know, it's a real shame that the right has politicized this in the way that they have, because now we need more extreme measures of protecting ourselves and each other. We need to start moving toward disseminating and taking the vaccine. And the right's hard attitude about masks and not wearing masks being somehow about freedom and masculinity and how tough and strong you are and owning the libs and, you know, giving a middle finger to the left, you know, it's all going to just make all this much harder for everyone. I keep coming back to the story about the super spreader wedding in Maine, where yep. seven people died and none of them attended the wedding. So your choices are not just about, oh, I'll be fine, I'm young and strong and my immune system can handle any of this shit. No, you are making choices that could affect people who you don't even know, people who are not attending the events that you're attending. Who is this state congressman or whatever from Staten Island who's on Twitter bragging about, we're going to have a big, normal Thanksgiving, grandma, kids, everybody hanging, turkey, it's going to be great. And it's like, number one, you're an elected official in a very hard hit COVID area in New York City. The fact that you're doing that is disgusting. And the fact that you're bragging about it is even more disgusting. There's a lot of people who want to do it. You know, I mean, I feel the pain of not being with family, of breaking those traditions and not being with the people who make the holidays what it is. And to see like other people are like, well, I'm just going to do it. Like, it's like, well, damn, like I want to just do it. But like, I'm trying to, you know, as somebody said, you know, I would rather skip in-person Thanksgiving than go to a virtual funeral.
And I don't understand why. I mean, that is real, right? Like that is extraordinarily real for 250,000 people who were not able to bury their loved ones. We're not able to pay their respects. And I just think that it's such an extraordinary disgrace. And when these people decide to, you know, use their Bible for some bullshit, and I'm saying to myself, whatever happened to the part in there where they're talking about love thy neighbor, right? Where they're talking about taking care of the most vulnerable. And what annoys me the most are these people that go to these anti-mask rallies with these signs that say, my body, my choice. Well, guess what? If I decided to have an abortion, right? That doesn't fucking affect you. But you deciding not to wear a mask can kill me or kill your husband or your wife or your kid or your grandmother or what have you. And so what I realize about these Republicans, about these people, is that all their idea of freedom is about their freedom to oppress other people. Their idea of freedom is about their freedom to harm others. That's what they are looking for, right? It's just to say, I don't give a fuck. But I don't know why we would expect any different from a country that has developed its values from saying that we all need to pull ourselves up individually by our bootstraps, that everything that you've ever gotten has been on your own. We are not a community based culture, right? And so right. You can see people in Italy making decisions and in Spain and in other countries making decisions because they care for their elderly. They care for their neighbor. It's part of the culture, but we don't have that here in America. We have different ethnic groups have that, right? But right. As a whole, that's not who we are.
You know, I am angry with so many people this week. One of them, this GSA Emily person. What is her last name? Emily at the GSA, Emily Murphy, who's refusing to sign the paperwork that will launch the transition, which Joe Biden has said will lead to his administration being slow to deal with COVID and, you know, to be able to save some lives, to be keep some people from getting sick, save some lives. And, you know, this person of no character is refusing to sign the paperwork and just to do her job and to be a person of character and stand up and say, you know, I'm going to do what's right, even though the boss is telling me, how do you sleep at night? Because most people are very selfish and they will not think about others, right? And they'll do what's best for them. But do you not think about history remembering you as a person of cowardice who purposefully did nothing to help Biden move forward and deal with coronavirus and thus facilitated an untold number of people getting sick and dying because you were afraid of what? Of Trump being mad at you? Of Trump tweeting about you? Of, you know, people, Trumpers might attack me and my family if he, so you, I mean, like, people of character stand up in difficult moments and say, this order is wrong, and I'm not going to follow your order. I'm going to do what is supposed to be done. I'm going to do the right thing. People without character, people of cowardice, will follow immoral, illegal commands from despots like Trump. But this woman clearly has no character.
Well, she says that she is operating off of precedent, right? And the precedent that she is using is the 2000 election. But what everybody has to understand is that the 2000 election, we were talking about a difference in votes of 537. We are oceans, okay?
In one state.
Apart from that, in one state. We are talking about hundreds of thousands, a difference of tens of thousands of votes in like five different states. Right? Like, this is not even close. And so when she says that she's using precedent, she is using bullshit, right? Like, this is her decision is based in complete and total bullshit and fraud. And what, you know, but the thing that I want to say about us as like Democrats, when we say things like, you know, these people don't care about like how history will remember them. No, they don't care about how history will remember them. They don't teach history. They don't care about history. They don't fucking read, right? And frankly, America has a memory the width of a gnat's, right? And so we constantly say like, oh, you know, well, history will remember you. I don't care about history anymore. I want the Biden-Harris team to take action now. I don't want them to talk about potential lawsuits. I want them to pursue them now, because every day that they are waiting for Republicans to act better is days that we are risking American lives, whether it be with the coronavirus or the fact that Trump is getting ready to start war with Iran. Right? And then the Biden-Harris team is just walking into it. Fucking Pompeo is in Israel and Palestine right now. Why the fuck are you there? What are you doing in the next 60-something days? Right? Like, why are you there?
This show is part of the
From the New Yorker staff writer Vincent Cunningham, a keenly observed novel of a young black man searching for his place in the world amidst a moment of historic change. Great Expectations is about David's 18 months working for the senator's presidential campaign. Along the way, David meets a myriad of people who raise a set of questions. Questions of history, art, race, religion, and fatherhood that force David to look at his own life anew and come to terms with his identity as a young black man and father in America. Inspired by the author's experiences working on Obama's 2008 presidential campaign, Cunningham uses a political campaign as his narrative backbone. Great Expectations will be one of the talked-about novels of the year, Colm McCann. Great Expectations is available wherever books are sold.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Democracy Podcast Coalition.
The midterms are coming, and it's more important than ever that we protect and fix our elections.
We all know that our government is broken. Politicians spend more time working for themselves, their big donors, and their political party instead of for us.
We as Americans have had enough of the corruption, partisan bickering, and gridlock. Look, I get that all the nonsense makes you want to tune out, but I'm here to tell you there's reason for hope.
Our political system is broken now, but we can fix it. That's why we've partnered with Represent Us, a nonpartisan grassroots organization that has helped notch more than 160 victories to improve our elections and give power back to the voters where it belongs.
Right now, until November, there are many, many ways you can get involved. Represent Us is working in cities and states to pass good government policies like ranked choice voting, and they're also recruiting folks to help staff the polls.
Let's protect our elections now and for generations to come.
Visit represent.us/pod to learn more. That's represent.us/pod.
I mean, you know, I think the Biden team, the Biden-Harris team is going to be, for lack of a better word, forgiving and not be what we would call vindictive or vengeful or going after Trump and others and trying to indict them or even dragging them in front of congressional hearings the way that Hillary was for Benghazi, which I think there were like 27 investigations that found her without blame, and yet they continued to drag her over the coals over it again and again and again. And I'm disappointed in that. I understand Biden wants to get unity, wants to move forward past this, but I don't think that that is what is right. But what bothers me even more is that we have so many people who think the election was stolen, who think Trump is the real winner, who are being fed disinformation. But places like Fox, who still talk about if the election comes out a certain way, as if it's still in doubt. Lawyers are going into court to file these petitions on Trump's behalf. And when judges are like, so what do you got in terms of evidence? And they're like, we got nothing. And like, so what the fuck are you doing in my courtroom?
Trump, get out, 20 of them.
Yeah, Trump has not won any case because they have no evidence. And his continued screaming on Twitter about that he actually won, that there were not observers, that there were things, the right loves to use this notion of like midnight vote dumps as if votes that arrive at midnight or 2 a.m. are inherently wrong or suspicious or something. Like, we're counting votes around the clock. Everybody knows there are Democratic and Republican observers and there are live stream cameras that any citizen can watch. So the notion of like there were no observers, I mean, you know, it's crazy to me that the right is saying that the right is trying to commit election fraud by saying the left is committing election fraud, when actually the only election fraud we can actually find is from the right, from Trump screwing with the Postal Service. We have now evidence of Lindsey fucking Graham calling people in states that he does not represent to say, hey, do you think you can throw some ballots in the trash? Like, this is election, that Reese Witherspoon movie. Like, we're just going to crumple up some ballots and throw them in. I mean, like, the right has already gone nuts over the idea that somebody threw out a ballot. And when we ran that person down, it was like, no, I didn't throw out a ballot at all. I threw out the instructions for the ballot. I'm here trying to make sure every ballot gets counted. Lindsey Graham is on the phone with people saying, hey, can you put some in your pocket and walk out the door? And
that's a federal offense. That's just a federal offense. Everybody knows.
And, you know, the margins are so gigantic that there's no human person who could have, like, you know, made like walked out the door with like 20 or 30,000 ballots or like thrown away 20, you know, and now Trump wants to scream about Dominion. I mean, like, it's just so bizarre that to the end, we have a president who is out here talking about conspiracy theories and bullshit. Right. I mean, to the very end.
I don't even like the what worries me. And I continue to say this is that this is not the end. Right. Like we're part way, maybe through the middle of this horror film, which is that honestly, Trump and the Republicans are going to try and blow up this country on their way out the door. What Biden and Harris are setting up to walk into in January is going to be a fucking nightmare. Not only, again, are we dealing with a pandemic? Are we dealing with an economic crisis? Are we dealing with potential, like, war? We also know that we're not going to get any policy passed. We're not going to have any economic relief packages. If we don't win the two very difficult seats in Georgia in the Senate in order to take the gavel out of Mitch McConnell's hands. What Republicans have signaled now, right? They had an opportunity right when Donald Trump lost and we found out on that lovely Saturday afternoon that Joe Biden became the president-elect. They had an opportunity at that moment to back away from Donald Trump because the entire time the media has been saying Donald Trump is holding the Republican Party hostage. Donald Trump, you know, has a clampdown on the Republican Party. Well, Donald Trump losing would then have relieved that clamp. But the thing that people fail to understand is that Republicans are Trump. Trump is the Republicans, right? He don't have control over them. He is them and they are him. And so they're not going to back away because backing away would mean backing away from power. And that is something that they are not willing to do without a fight. And so what is frustrating me is this idea that, you know, Joe Biden says earlier this week, you know, I don't want my presidency to be marred by investigations and this, that, and the other thing. I'll allow, you know, my independent attorney general will make the decisions about what's to be done. But the fact of the matter is that if we do not handle the criminal nature of this administration, if we do not handle the Lindsey Grahams of the world, if we do not investigate and hold these people accountable, then they might as well not step foot in the White House. Because what comes after Donald Trump is going to be slicker, smarter, and a fuck lot more eloquent than Donald Trump is, which is going to make that person 10 times as more dangerous. And if you want to wrap your mind around what could be more dangerous than Donald Trump, right? Like, that's the thing of nightmares.
I think that's absolutely right, that a slicker, smarter, more effective Donald Trump is imaginable. Somebody who is untethered from reality, you know, mired in these conspiracy theories, and yet able to manipulate the levers of government in a way that, you know, like a Tom Cotton. You know, able to actually work within government rather than being a complete, you know, idiot who has no idea how government actually works. And it definitely seems like we are headed towards something like that when we see a nation full of conscious morons who are deeply in the grip of the lies, of the bubble, of the bullshit. Did you see the poor Anthony video?
No.
Oh my God. Explain. This boy, this third grade boy.
Oh my God, yes. His mother, yes, who colored in the electoral map the right way.
Correctly. And his mother calls the teacher to scream on her about, like, what are you talking about? The election is not over. There's six states in litigation. No one has won. I mean, like, you know, the boy has come home with a paper that says 2 + 2 = 4. And the mother calls the teacher and is like, what the fuck are you teaching my son? And how does the teacher even deal with that? And I love at the end when the mom is like, well, there you go. That's why she got the wrong answer, because she went to Google, right? Google is her problem. She didn't go to OANN. Like, OANN is your go-to news source. And I went there, and they are 100% on the election is not over. It will definitely be overturned. Trump will definitely end up winning. There are a lot of people who believe without a doubt that when the dust settles, Trump will be reelected. And it is frightening. You know, the notion that we each live in our own bubble is absolutely part of the problem, because you and I, and I would venture to say the vast majority of people who listen to this show do not live in a bubble. We are connected to reality. We are aware of what science, what media, what facts and reality are talking about. The people in the bubble who are on the right, who are dealing with a world where climate change isn't real, immigration is out of control, they are streaming across the border, taking our jobs, Trump did a great job, COVID is a hoax, it's definitely overblown by the media, and the election continues to be contested in court, and who knows how it will end up, slash Trump will end up winning. All of that is unhinged from reality. And the idea that both sides are in a bubble is the notion that, well, we believe things. There's nothing that I believe as a progressive, as a liberal, as a Democrat, where there's a community of experts saying that's just not true. Nothing.
Or you mean all of the experts, unlike Dr. Atlas, who is telling people to go home for Thanksgiving, who is telling people not to wear a mask, and was peddling herd immunity, and the motherfucker isn't an epidemiologist. This isn't his field of operation. I don't know what the fuck he's the doctor of, right? Dr. Seuss? You know, like, I don't know, Dr. Kevorkian, like, I don't fucking know.
I mean,
but like what he's peddling, it's like you get these crackpots on the right to be able to peddle their bullshit. But this goes back to, again, the beginning of this administration. Kellyanne Conway said alternate facts. Giuliani said truth is not truth. Right? That we allowed the FCC during the Obama era. Why did they allow Fox News to consistently put out trash that was harmful to the American people? Why do we not have warning labels on everything that Fox News puts out that says that this is for entertainment purposes only? It is not news nor based in fact. So watch at your own risk. If I can get that on a fucking movie on Netflix, then why the fuck can't I get that in one of the largest, most watched news outlets in the country?
Amen. And, you know, part of the problem is that Fox and the right have somehow allowed this, and the left has allowed this too, some destabilization of the truth, to where there's this notion of like, well, MSNBC and CNN are just doing the same thing as Fox from the left, when no, we are not at all doing the same thing. It's not even close. To align CNN, MSNBC, and Fox is akin to aligning the Lakers, the Clippers, and the Globetrotters. We are playing different games. They are doing different things. I was at MSNBC for several years. I can guarantee you every single person in the building is working their ass off to get to the truth, to be honest and accurate. You may have a guest like Hugh Hewitt who comes on and says, you know, bullshit, but the people who work there are working to spread the truth. There's no montage of bullshit that you could make here. Here's Lawrence, here's Rachel, here's Hayes, here's Joy saying absolute bullshit. We have every single day, we have a montage of insane things said by Laura, Tucker, Hannity, others there. It's not informing people, it is disinforming people. And the notion that MSNBC and CNN are doing the same thing, are just spreading left-wing propaganda, or they're just an arm of the Democratic Party. You know, it is bullshit, and it lets Fox off the hook for their shit. When we are trying very hard to create real.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Honest news and perspectives, and the destabilization of media and the ability to say media is bullshit is part of what leads to the truth decay. And when you have people on the right saying, well, I don't believe anything that the New York Times or CNN or MSNBC or the Washington Post says, so then I am fair game. I am fair game for Fox, for Rush Limbaugh, for Mark Levin, for the other maniacs on the right to come in and take your mind and say, hey, you know what's really true? That COVID is bullshit, that Trump actually won the election, that climate change is a hoax, that wearing masks does nothing. People wearing masks die all the time. So like, why bother wearing a mask? All this, I mean, like, it's not like one issue. It's over and over and over, all these places where they are unmoored from reality, from science, and it's extremely dangerous for the country.
But, you know, the other side of that is the both sidesism, right? If we hadn't have legitimized these people on some of the networks that you named by having them come on for the sake of offering both sides, where to these issues, there are not two sides. There are not two sides to climate change. You either want to die in a fiery, you know, mess in California, or the watching the glaciers fall off in Greenland and end up in the sea. You either want to see and witness a Hurricane Maria and a Hurricane Katrina 10 times over, or you don't, right? Like, and when you have these people come on the news and say and continue to purport like Trump's bullshit and just the right's lies for the sake of having two sides of the story, that's the problem, is that we needed to delegitimize these people from the get out. Right? And say, like, we're not going to have folks on here that are not certified, that are not experts, that are just telling lies for the sake of telling lies. And that was the problem, is that instead of, again, calling Trump out from the very beginning, Trump has been the same person. It's not like he started out presidential, right, and then turned into a lunatic. No, like, he came down the fucking escalator as a lunatic.
Both sidesism is really a disease of left-wing media. Yeah. And the notion that to be seen as even-handed is to be seen as above it all, is to be seen as objective, to be seen as like doing your job the right way. I gave both sides a chance to speak. Now, when one side is increasingly off the deep end in terms of the ideas and the presentation of the ideas, to give both sides an equal chance to speak is to ultimately disinform the viewers. But, you know, there's still at this late date a fear of saying the L word, lying. There's a fear of being a referee and taking a side and saying this is completely wrong. But I think part of the fear, too, is really like 2016 was a shock to the system for a lot of people in media, because a lot of people voted who we were shocked that there were so many people who were pro-Trump and were willing to go for his bullshit. And it made a lot of people in media go, perhaps we don't understand the country. It was very humbling. it was very traumatizing because we, you know, we in media take the position of like, well, of course, we have our finger of on the pulse of the country. We understand the country. We fly around. We talk to lots of people. We get it. And the Trump election made us think perhaps there's this gigantic group of people who we don't understand. Suddenly we don't understand the country. So, you know, at a lot of places it was, you know, let's do what we can to try to better understand the country and to understand this right wing and also to give them a chance to speak because we felt like we had not given them a chance to speak. I don't think
they do is fucking speak.
I don't think that giving them a chance to speak has given the audience information, has not educated. Like, we want to understand, like, who these people are. But, like, you know, we saw on this week Martha Raddatz interviewing three people from the right who were like, I don't think the election was fair, and I think Trump will end up being elected. And, like, why are you putting these people on the air? I mean, like, would you put three people on who are like, I don't think the moon is real, and I'm not sure about the sun either.
And I'm not sure. And you know what? And I think that water is dry.
I never forget John Oliver did an amazing, I think it was in his first year, he did an amazing little bit at the end of his show, and he's like, you know, honesty would not be one climate scientist talking to one climate denier. That's not actually both sides and fair. What would be fair is if you had one climate denier and 99 climate scientists, and even that would not be fair. And he had suddenly like all these people rushing in on top of the fact that the climate denier is probably being paid by the fossil fuel industry or the oil industry to, as you know, to say these sort of things that are allowing people to deny reality. Media is definitely complicit in this. This frightening number of people on the right who believe absolute bullshit. And, you know, the other thing is that...
Let me ask you this, Torre, though. I have to ask you this. Because one of the things that we continue to say is, like, media just wanted to get to understand these people, wanted to understand Trumpers, wanted to understand, like, how they thought, what made them tick, right? Do you think that they are complicating an issue that was never really that complicated? We had economic anxiety. That was the hot topic Ooh. In 2016, right? Like, that was a hot phrase that we were using. Oh, it's just because they're poor. Ooh. We don't care about poor Black people or poor Latinx people or, you know, anybody else whose joblessness rate it has been above the national average. But these people, it's economic anxiety. Do you think that the media just desires to complicate an issue that I don't find that complicated, or they really truly don't see that it's just at the core of it is just racism, which is actually very simple?
I mean, I think some people in media see that it's racism. I think that among a lot of white journalists explaining the world in terms of race, you know, the real answer is racism. I think that that's a frightening concept to them and a foreign concept to them. And they don't really think that that's real.
I'm supposed to believe economic anxiety is real.
I don't even know what the fuck economic anxiety really means. It seems to be right now that we actually have no president at this time. Because Joe Biden is being blocked and Trump has checked out. He's not doing the job. He's not showing up. He's not doing any work. He's talking about starting a war with Iran. But for the most part, he's really not doing anything. And it's kind of bizarre.
It's kind of like, you remember when you had gotten accepted into college and it's senior year in high school, but you had already gotten accepted into college and there was like a month left. So you were just like, fuck it, I don't need to go to class. That's Donald Trump right now. He has 60-some-odd days and he's hiding in the basement of the White House on Twitter, eating fucking McDonald's and being like, you know, I don't have to do this job. Also, do you know who else isn't doing their job? No one's heard from William Barr in the longest time either. Where is the Attorney General of the United States? No one has any idea.
Yeah, it's, you know, a part of me is happy that Trump isn't doing anything, because a day that he doesn't do anything is a day that the country doesn't get wrecked. But, you know, there's a pandemic going on. There are things. We do need some pilot flying the plane. Good that we don't have a maniac flying the plane, but nobody flying the plane is kind of scary also. And, you know, the attempt to steal the election seems to consume him. I mean, like, it's pathetic that
it's
even
been 2 weeks
at this late date, he's still tweeting shit like, I win Michigan because there were more voters, more ballots than there are voters in Detroit. Ergo, boom, I win Michigan. I actually won the election. You know, like, I claim Arizona. I won. Like, it's like the raving lunatic freak out of an imbecile. Not even a child, like, but an adult imbecile of just like, I actually won. Like, what are you?
But you didn't, and you have no proof. It would be one thing, again, if this election had been razor thin. It's why people had kept saying, make it a landslide, you know, too big to rig, so that when they were going into court, because they knew that they were going to try and be litigious, that there would be no grounds for anything because the numbers would be too big. America did its job. Right? And this is what upsets me too, is that people risk their lives to vote, and then those who are counting the votes risk their lives in the midst of a pandemic to do an extraordinary thing, right? An extraordinary thing. We'd never had 100 million people vote before Election Day. And so here we are, instead of celebrating what our win here as a nation, we have to deal with a petulant fucking child whose tantrum is going to cost American lives. The fact that we don't have a transition team, the fact that we can't rely on the cabinet that's being put together, because honestly, are we waiting on December 14th? Are we waiting on January 20th? Like, what's the magic date here, right? Where we can start to like think about the American people instead of thinking about Donald Trump. I mean, because that's also a thing.
They suggest that the Electoral College certifying will be it, but like, I think that's bullshit. You know, I mean, Breonna Keeler on CNN had me rolling when she was like, he seems like, you know, somebody who has been dumped but won't accept the breakup. So he sort of like keeps coming home and he's like, hey, I'm home. It's like, no, we broke up. I dumped you. It's like, no, you didn't. Like, yeah, I did. Like, it's over. And like, no, I want to keep going. Like, but if it's fucking like stalking at this point. Of like, you're still
he's
you're
stalking him. He's America's stalker.
He's America's stalker.
Oh my God, that's the best.
He's America's stalker. He's trolling America. You know, I mean, I you know, I'll leave you with this. We'll leave them with this. I don't think that he will be at the inauguration. So then you're trying to backdate, like, when does he leave the White House and not return? Like, does he go to Mar-a-Lago for Christmas and just never return? Or does he go for Thanksgiving and just never return? Or is he there on the morning of January 20th and he just leaves? Or is he just, like, in the Oval Office, like, pouting until the last second? You know, and the inauguration's going on over there, and he's like just in the residence or in the Oval Office, like just hanging out, like, screw you guys, I'm not going home.
Yeah, we're gonna see pictures of Biden and Harris with their hand on the Bible, and there's gonna be a split screen of the military going into the White House and pulling Donald Trump out. I
God,
shit you
don't,
not.
Don't play with my emotions, Danielle.
I'm telling you,
don't
I will bet
Don't play with my
money.
Emotions. That's
I
my
will
dream.
Bet money
that is my
is
dream.
That is a split screen that we are going to see on inauguration day.
It wouldn't be the military. It would be the Secret Service.
Or the
jurisdiction.
The Secret Service, excuse
but
me.
But
yes.
You don't really think that the Secret
yes,
Service will have to...
Yes, I do.
Let's call it extract him.
Yes, I do.
You don't think he
Donald
will...
Donald Trump isn't going to Mar-a-Lago for Thanksgiving so that he can barricade himself in the White House. That motherfucker ain't leaving. And I keep saying that to folks, and you're all going to be shocked and surprised come inauguration day.
That's my dream of seeing him forcibly removed from the White House on any day, much less inauguration day. That's my dream. So don't play with my emotions and tell me you think my dream will actually happen. Because that is all I'm asking. That's all I want from 2021 is Trump thrown out. And then you know we have started on a good year.
Light a candle, because I'm telling you, that is the split screen that you were going to see on inauguration day. Donald Trump ain't fucking leaving. He ain't leaving. You know that last scene in The Wolf of Wall, that scene in The Wolf of Wall Street? I'm not fucking leaving. They're going to have to get a fucking wrecking ball in here. That is fucking Donald Trump. He ain't fucking leaving.
Oh my God. Oh my God. That sounds amazing. All right. thank you so much for listening to Democracy-ish. I'm Touré.
And I'm Danielle Moody.
And we will be back next week
if we're not at war. Who the fuck knows?
Oh, democracy clings by its fingernails to the edge of the cliff. I think it's going to hold on.
I hope the nails
on,
are like Cardi B's, because those shits can hold on. I hope democracy got Cardi B nails. Because
Megan
the
Stallion,
need.
Like, I am. Hold on.
Yeah.
Peace.